Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. 4 minutes past the hour, and I am really jazzed up for today's topic. The doctor is going to know this by way of this airgram that I'm going to share with him. This is a topic that we spend a great deal of time on this program, Doctor, talking about this. I want you to know this. I've written about it at length. We've had many, many hours of discussion on vaping illness, and I tell a story from time to time when this whole e-cigarette, whatever you want to call these things, when it first came out, a very dear friend of mine who is now deceased came into my studio and said, "Look at this, Harry, I finally quit smoking." So I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio either. I said, "Well, it doesn't seem to me that you stopped smoking. I'm watching a blue light at the end of this fake cigarette, whatever this thing is." I think they called them e-cigarettes then. "And I'm watching you inhale. I'm hearing a crackling sound. Something's going on. And whatever is going on in that discharge system is turning it into some kind of vapor or something. And then you're exhaling this." Said, "It sure seems like you're still smoking to me, pal." And we know what we've learned as time has gone on, and there's some data now that we didn't have in the beginning. So this topic is huge. It's just it can't be overstated how serious it is. We have a wonderful guest, Dr. Zeeshan Khan, the pulmonologist and the medical director for the Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine. Our topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is vaping illness. So I'm telling you, the doctor has prepared quite a program for you. And pay attention to this. If you think this is all benign, and you're gonna learn a lot this half hour. Dr. Khan, his residency, internal medicine, University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, specialty training, pulmonary disease, critical care medicine, University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, sleep medicine, Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. I know that very well. My sister still lives there in Atlanta. Board certified in sleep medicine, pulmonary disease, critical care, triple threat, special interests, sleep disorders, breathing, hypersomnia, which I've never heard of, advanced diagnostic, endobronchial ultrasound, and critical care. So a whole lot of good work that Dr. Khan is doing, and we welcome you to your program, sir. Welcome to Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents. Hi, Dr. Khan.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm really happy that you're here to talk about this topic, because I think people for a long time were very casual about vaping until we started seeing some of the people dying and popcorn lung and some of this other stuff. Doctor, if you would, let's get going. What is vaping?
Sure. I just wanted to first start off by saying thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I appreciate speaking to you on the air. So, you know, vaping, what it is the basic concept is that there is a liquid typically consisting of whether it's from nicotine or THC, which is one of the ingredients in marijuana, and then that liquid is typically heated up and then eventually aerosolized through this device, and that's what people inhale into their lungs. Again, that there's different substances that people typically use, and it was kind of invented initially in the 1960s, and then it really kind of caught on fire in early 2000s when the device was actually started to be manufactured in China.
It's really something, and I told a quick story about a friend that thought that, "Oh my gosh, I'm doing a great thing. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm doing this." And at the time, there was no data on, is this worse than what you were doing? Is it better than what you were doing? I don't know if this is anecdotal, Dr. Khan, but when you see some people that are on ventilators and have had really bad things happen in a short period of time, many people, it takes decades to develop lung cancer. And some people, I guess, never do, actually. But we know that cancer and carcinogenic and all that. But the vaping seems to, in some cases, Dr. Khan, produced horrible results much quicker than traditional tobacco smoking ever would. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, yes. I mean, so vaping, you know, like you said, it really kind of, people thought it as a more of an alternative to just typical cigarette smoking. You know, unfortunately, over the last year, we've really seen some horrible, especially pulmonary effects from vaping. And, you know, there's been some argument whether there's something different in the vaping substances that we were using here in the United States versus the rest of the world. But despite that, people have been very sick. There's been actually, I'm sure everyone has heard, there's been multiple deaths linked to this, people requiring extended periods on the ventilator and going through significant illness. And, you know, there... We'll obviously talk a little bit later on too, but the link that the CDC has kind of discovered is something called vitamin E acetate, and that seems to be kind of the common offender in a lot of these people who are very ill over the last year.
And right now we see a lot of, once people started dying and the president, it got his attention, and once it gets out there, market saturation level to the consuming public, all of a sudden people start looking at this very, very differently, and it's sad, but I think it actually took people dying and near dying, because some of the people that don't necessarily die have damaged their lungs and have an altered life now. So even if they didn't die from it, in many cases, they've really created damage. And I know on the first question about what is vaping, you touched a little bit on how it works. Is there anything more about how vaping works that you want to share, Dr. Khan, that you did not share?
I think that one of the key things that people don't understand is just the terminology sometimes. So vaping, as you know, vaping, e-cigarettes, some e-hookah, there's all these different terms, but it's all the same concept. And again, it depends on, typically it was used more for nicotine, but people have used it for other substances as well.
Yeah.
And again, it's just heating the liquid at a very high temperature. And, you know, unfortunately, people have modified these devices and put different other substances that they, you know, wanted to use, and also the actual device. And, you know, there's all these other street terms that people call hacking or dubbing, where they put other substances, or they heat the liquid at an even higher temperature. And again, it's not, the device isn't designed to do that, but it unfortunately can obviously cause a lot of damage.
And I'm not saying it's happening every day, but I've seen some of the photos, even it's happened where these things have exploded. Now you have one of those explode when it's in your mouth. I mean, you're talking about potential fatal injury with something like that.
Yes, so, definitely. I mean, that could be very, very serious, obviously, if that were to occur.
So let's overcome objections here. What are some of the reasons people start vaping?
I think that, you know, in the older population, typically it's more as an alternative to typical cigarettes. Some people do try to use that as a avenue to kind of quit smoking, but we are seeing that in the younger population, it has become very common, and I think that's, you know, to the credit of the companies that they're marketing to this population with these flavors and these names that are, you know, quite catchy, and you know that they've done some surveys and data has shown that, you know, almost one in five high school students, has vaped in the last 30 days, which is shocking to me.
And fortunately, I'm going to say fortunately, a lot of states are taking action. The federal government has taken action. Flavors are being eliminated. And basically, you can have tobacco or maybe a menthol or something. So they've taken away a lot of that desirable cherry and some of these other flavors that they had. So that's at least, I think, a start. I feel like Captain Obvious here, but is vaping safe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I tell, as a pulmonologist, like I tell people, my general rule of thumb is anything you inhale typically is not good for you.
Yes,
that's not most meant to go. But you know, the issue is that vaping has obviously not been around as long as typical, again, cigarettes, and there's not enough data and research to give us the idea of long-term effects of it, but there's no doubt that it's not safe. There have been some small studies looking at the effects on the lungs, and you know, they have demonstrated, whether in the lab or even in humans, that there is effect on your lung, what we call the lung epithelium. It can cause some stress on the lung tissue, which can lead to similar, you know, there was one study done about a year and a half ago where they found that the changes that they found in people's sputum, you know, in their phlegm, was very similar to what they find in people who smoke cigarettes for long periods of time and who have COPD, right? So it's kind of scary that this thing could cause similar things at a more rapid pace.
If you have a question for Dr. Khan, we're going to be right back. We take one only break during DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents. We're going to go now. We're going to come back in just over 2 minutes. So quick break. We have the distinguished doctor, Dr. Zeeshan Khan, pulmonologist and the medical director for the DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine. That'll be a whole nother topic that we're going to do later in the year, because the work that you do and your team at the incredible Institute for Sleep Medicine at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, it's absolutely amazing. The overnight studies and all the great work, changing people's lives, people that haven't had restorative sleep sometime for years. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to do that topic. When we come back, you can jump in at 609-407-1450, and we would ask you to keep your questions centered on vaping today. But if you might be dealing with something yourself, or you may have a child that's doing it right now, and the doctor is here making an on-air house call talking about vaping illnesses on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the types of chemicals that are in a vape. You're going to want to know this, because if you think this is good, after you hear Dr. Khan, I don't think you're going to feel so good about it. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and WPGTalkRadio.com.
This is Harry Hurley.
Good.
.com/easy.
Hi, it's Mark Levin. Join me this evening at 6. Now back to Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. 18 minutes past the hour. We have a great doctor this hour. Dr. Khan is here from DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. The program is DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents. Today's topic is vaping illness. Dr. Khan, pulmonologist and the medical director for the DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine. And as we left you for the quick break, we were going to come back and talk about the types of chemicals that are in a vape. Doctor, time is yours.
Yes. So like we had mentioned earlier, Gary, that there is typically a liquid inside the device, and that liquid can be either nicotine, it can be THC, or cannabinoid oil. So the THC is what people use in marijuana, which gives them the high. The cannabinoid oil is kind of what we use for other medicinal purposes. There's other additives, typically flavoring, that give the taste to the vape. There's also some other chemicals. Sometimes they found heavy metals and some other carcinogenic chemicals inside these liquids. And obviously, once the liquid is heated, then it produces even more toxic chemical substances. You know, there's some volatile organic compounds. And again, you had mentioned earlier about popcorn lung, so that flavoring is what has been linked to popcorn lung in the past once it heats up. So that's kind of what some of the main substances are found in vaping.
And doctor, sidebar question: this damage that's caused I'm not qualified to say, I won't say in all cases, but the damage that is caused in many cases is permanent, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. The issue with the lungs is, unfortunately, you know, some of the organs can definitely heal pretty over several years. You know, the heart is pretty profound, the liver, there's all the other organs which can heal, but the lungs, unfortunately, they just never heal back to normal from any kind of specific damage. So especially when there's such, you know, consistent damage from smoking or vaping, the lungs unfortunately never heal back to normal.
Let me put my red blazer on with the fancy logo and I'll become Captain Obvious again. Doctor, is vaping addictive?
Yes, definitely. It is typically depending on, obviously, the substance you're using. So obviously nicotine is very addictive. So vaping is addictive also.
All right, I want to wash my mouth out with soap when I ask this question of the distinguished doctor, Dr. Khan, but are there any advantages to vaping?
So, you know, there has been some debate back and forth whether vaping, again, is I think we're going to talk about that later on too, is whether it's safer than smoking. And in Europe, actually, they push it pretty hard for smoking cessation. And I think that there's just not enough data for us to understand how the potential, you know, long-term damage from vaping. But, you know, I think it's probably safer to say that it's probably safer than cigarettes in the long term, but there's no doubt it's not a safe habit.
Yeah, it almost seems to me, now this would contradict what you just said, so I wouldn't dare do it, but it almost seems to me as a layperson that it's sort of from the frying pan into the fire itself. There's something about this vaping that I believe as time goes on, because when you see some of the results after such a short period of time vaping versus how many decades in many cases it takes for this type of damage from traditional smoking, which I also despise. I lost both my parents to endocarcinoma of the lung, chain smokers. There was either a cigarette in their hand, in their mouth, or in the ashtray burning. That's all I ever saw. I mean, all the time. And of course, that was an era where I'm talking World War II era, folks, that you had doctors with lab coats doing TV commercials, getting paid, and magazine ads that smoking is good for you. It's good for your digestive system. I mean, some pretty cruel stuff. But now we are armed with a lot of information that shows what this inhalation stuff can do. You did touch on this, Dr. Khan, a little while ago on your program. But do we have a handle on whether vaping appeals more to adults or to adolescents?
Yeah, like I had mentioned before, there definitely have been multiple surveys, and they have found that, again, that the adolescents seem to kind of are more attracted to vaping. And I guess, it, you know, obviously peer pressure, marketing, all those things kind of come into effect to that.
I want to make this a standalone question, even though I know you did address it. You talked about the lining, and you said some very important things about the damage that vaping can do. But describe for your listeners, Dr. Khan, the damage that vaping does to the lungs.
Right. So like we mentioned, that typically the aerosol has multiple chemicals inside of it, and those chemicals, when they get inhaled into the lung, it can damage the actual tissue, the lining of the lung inside the bronchial airways. It can lead to what we call oxidative stress, you know, where we get these kind of radical oxygen species, which are kind of linked to damage to the tissue, and also have also been associated with cancer. There has been some data showing that there also is increased these proteins, which are linked to the elasticity of the lungs, which can cause long-term damage to the lungs, very similar to people who have COPD, emphysema. Those are some of the earlier, you know, data that we have seen so far. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more once we see this long term, but these are some of the earlier studies have shown this so far.
Are there other health side effects of vaping?
So I have come across that there are some effects on the heart as well. You know, again, just the fact that it's so relatively novel that there's just not too much research on these things, but definitely I would not be surprised, you know, in 5 to 10 years that we start seeing that it affects other organs, you know, just like typical, you know, tobacco smoking.
Here's one that I haven't heard many people talk about. We always hear about secondhand smoke from traditional tobacco smoking, but is secondhand smoke from vaping a dangerous issue?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I get asked that a lot, and there is no doubt that there's a significant potential for that to be a problem, and it comes down to the same thing, that there's just not enough data or research on this as of yet. But I mean, again, it definitely makes sense given that what's inside the aerosol, you know, all those chemicals that we talked about, that they are definitely potentially harmful to the lungs, and it would not be shocking that those would be, you know, cause trouble in people who get secondhand.
You mentioned Europe, and I think even here in America, and I know my friend, when he started to do it, he thought that it was a smoking cessation program, that it would help him quit smoking. Does vaping actually help you quit regular cigarettes?
So, yeah, there have been studies in the past, and they did a lot of them in Europe, and they actually have shown that they can help. And the only reason why is because in vaping, you can actually kind of dial down the nicotine content, which makes it easier for some people to do. But again, I think that given, like we talked about, that some people have such serious side effects and damage to their lungs from vaping, it's kind of hard to recommend it at this time.
Dr. Khan, see if you agree with this or not. I suspect, and again, this is just me as a layperson, and I've seen people that do this, and I know people that still do it even after all this news comes out. So I guess there's something to be said for that addiction, and it's powerful and all that. But I think the reason that the vaping could make someone quit traditional tobacco smoking is they get their nicotine fix. And they have, I don't know what to call it, the social aspect of the electronic cigarette in their hand. They do the act of the V, I call it the victory pose with the cigarette in the V pose. And they are able to inhale it. So that it actually replaces the other habit that they had because it does all these other things. Is that reasonable?
No, that's exactly right on the point, because there, you know, you're right. Tobacco smoking has a lot of social and psycho things associated with it, and for a lot of people, it's just the habit of smoking. You know, they tell me that's what they've been doing forever, and they do it, you know, when they go out, whether they go out for, you know, drinks or with their friends, and they can't imagine not doing it because of that social habit they have. Again, vaping can kind of provide that avenue for them sometimes, unfortunately.
This is going to sound repetitive, but as a point of emphasis, is vaping healthier than traditional smoking, or do we even know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a hard answer to give you, because, again, there's just not enough data to say, because vaping hasn't been around for so long. But I think the easy answer for me to say is that it's like we said before, it's not safe, and it's most likely going to be linked to a lot of lung issues long-term too.
I want to let our listeners know that if you're dealing with something like this, and we're going to talk about the treatment coming up right now, but I want to remind you, if you would like to see Dr. Khan and his team, if you're dealing with a vaping illness, demanddebora.org, so simple, and you can schedule right from there. Dr. Khan, what are the types of treatments that you offer to patients that have a vaping illness?
Right, so when people, if they either present to our clinic or if they present to the hospital with vaping-induced lung injury, then typically we give them, obviously the number one thing is they have to stop vaping, but typically they get oxygen. They can get, depending on whether we think they may have an infection on top of that, sometimes they get antibiotics. There have been some reports that sometimes giving what we call oral steroids can help people help with the inflammation in their lungs and decrease that and help them recover quicker. But, you know, it comes down to the number one thing, which is that they have to obviously quit the vaping. And if it comes down to where they need to be treated for the nicotine withdrawal, then we can. There are many options for giving nicotine supplementation, whether it's through gum, patches, lozenges. There's medications which can help also to get rid of that withdrawal.
And let's talk about the one that you mentioned right before, the advice on withdrawal symptoms. What are the tips for people who want to stop vaping?
I think that the most important thing for that is that they have to kind of come to terms with that it's harmful to them, and they have to want to quit, right? And as you mentioned, and you know very well too, is that, you know, if people don't have the right mindset, then no matter what treatment we give them, unfortunately, it will not work, right? So they have to be ready to quit, number one. And once they're ready, we kind of, it's similar to how we tell people how to quit smoking. They have to have a kind of a timeline when they want to quit. And it doesn't have to be in a day or 2 days, but it should be some kind of reasonable time period of time. And then, again, we offer that kind of social support. We can offer medications and other things to kind of help them with that.
There have been reports that some people, first time out, have had just horrific incidents upon vaping. Do we know why some people have, well, some have had fatal incidents? Some have been, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Khan, so impaired by the event that they're on ventilators and other treatments and things, breathing treatments and oxygen and all these things. Do we know why some people can get hit right out of the box and yet some people can vape for an extended period, it seems?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two parts to that. So one part is for the most recent outbreak of this past year, a lot of these, unfortunately, these patients were getting substances that were illicit or off the streets, and again, they were kind of contaminated with this vitamin E acetate, which has been linked to this outbreak, and caused such significant damage. And then the second thing is, some people, whether they already have what we call immunocompromised and their body is dealing with other conditions, or many of these patients were very young. So, you know, we see that, unfortunately, patients that are very young, that their immune system is very hyperactive and strong. So when the body is fighting, you know, some kind of outside exposure, that their body kind of goes into this hyper mode where it kind of starts fighting itself sometimes and causing a lot of inflammation in the lungs. And unfortunately, a lot of the patient that they had mentioned in one of the case series in the initial outbreak in Illinois, you know, one of them had to be placed on what we call ECMO, which is kind of cardiac and pulmonary bypass, because they were just so sick.
Was there a period of time where, because you mentioned the early 2000s, and that's when I remember the first time I learned about this thing, and I saw the electronic cigarette, and I was like, wow, what's going on with this now? And I just didn't know anything other than, I said, it can't be good. You're inhaling this stuff. It can't be good. Anything you're unnaturally inhaling into your lungs, who knows what chemicals are in that thing, and then you're blowing out this stream of, like, white smoke. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I don't even know what you're doing to yourself. Well, it's helping me. I'm going to quit smoking. I said, you might be doing something worse than what you were doing before. I said, I don't know, but it can't be good. It seems as though it was left unregulated for a real long time. Then, as you mentioned earlier, and I completely concur, even if they'll never admit it, even if they got hauled before Congress, it sure seems like they were marketing almost like Joe Camel stuff, if you remember that era. It seemed like they were marketing to young people, and then all the flavored juice and all this stuff. And it seemed like we didn't pay a lot of, like, societal evolution. We didn't pay attention to that something was going on here, that a new form of smoking or whatever you want to call it, vaping, we'll just say, was going on. And it only seems like since people started dying or otherwise being very, very sick from it, are we now serious about actually delving into what the heck is going on here? I think that industry got like almost a decade and a half free run on society here. Sounds harsh.
You're exactly right, because they were relatively unregulated for quite a while. And I think, you know, I heard something not too long ago that the FDA had scheduled them to start some regulations on them for 2022.
Wow.
Initially, but now they're moving that back because obviously of what's going on now. But they have been left fairly unregulated, and unfortunately, you know, the public has suffered from that because of the lack of awareness of what it can cause. And you know, we're kind of stuck in this unfortunate situation.
Dr. Khan, let me give you whatever time you want to consume to give us a closing comment on today's topic, vaping illness, and ask you maybe one question that you could then lead into your closing comment. If someone's vaping, should they stop?
No doubt about it. Yes, they should.
But if they've been doing it for a while, is there, you talked about withdrawal. Would it be unhealthy if you decided that you wanted to stop today? If you've been doing something for a while, do you have to? I want them to call you when you go on the website demandtobore.org and get a hold of my friend Dr. Khan. But would it be also bad to stop cold turkey?
In theory, you can, right. So if they're most likely vaping nicotine, and you know you can get nicotine withdrawal symptoms. But you know, I think that like we mentioned, that you're right, you want to do it kind of at their own pace, but I think the first step is saying that enough's enough and they're done, right? And I think that if they've come to terms with that, then I think on our end, we're definitely willing to help to kind of help them get rid of this habit.
And of course, as you mentioned, Doctor, the withdrawal can be averted by, you can take that nicotine gum, lozenges, all these things that are out there. It doesn't have to be inhaling this vapor. So yes, you can avoid the withdrawal symptoms by doing the alternative and ending the vaping. Then you're not going to have the withdrawal, correct?
Yes, and I think that's the intent, is to treat that withdrawal to make sure that that nobody suffers from any kind of inconvenient symptoms, and I think that's very important.
Are we seeing any type of declination with the flavors that aren't going to be allowed, and then it will just be tobacco or maybe menthol or something like that? A lot of the desire of this are these amazing flavors, aren't they?
Yes, and I think that's what the government over the last few months has been working on, to pass regulation to kind of limit the flavoring, the marketing of this e-cigarettes and vaping.
I love our Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents program, and I just believe, Dr. Khan, you did such a great job on such an important topic, because for a long while, this was going on like it was not unhealthy, and there just wasn't, I believe there wasn't intellectual honesty on the topic, and it's so important that we had you on today to have this great opportunity for you to share all about vaping and what you can do about it, and I just want to say thank you.
I really appreciate it, Harry, and this opportunity, and we're here at Deborah to help anybody who needs that.
And congratulations on your Institute for Sleep Medicine. It's incredible, and I look forward to talking to you about that in the near future.
Yeah, definitely. We're available, and anything you need.
Thank you, Dr. Khan. Be well.
Okay. Take care, Harry.
You too, sir. We're going to be right back. It's your turn to play next, 609-407-1450. This is Hurley in the Morning on WPG.
68 college basketball games could put $1 million in your pocket. Sign up now for the $1 Million Bracket Challenge at WPGTalkRadio.com. The bracket with the most correct will win a $500 golden getaway in Atlantic City, thanks to GoldenNuggetSports.com. And the top 20 brackets will receive a free bet at GoldenNuggetSports.com. Must be 21 or over to place a bet. Only available in New Jersey. Free bets are online sportsbook only. Please see website for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's the $1 Million Bracket Challenge at WPGTalkRadio.com.
Something special here. A feeling that says this is the one place you can't miss. The one place with Landshark, Atlantic City's only year-round beachside bar and restaurant. And DraftKings, Atlantic City's best sportsbook. Plus, the laid-back fun of Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. And award-winning dining spots like Capriccio and Gallagher's. Along with the best dealers. All in a one-of-a-kind place. Resorts Casino Hotel. Go to resortsac.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins this afternoon at 1. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, thanks very much. Welcome back. I'm glad I checked my text messages during the break, because somebody very important to me, very influential person in my whole development as both a child and as an adult, wrote, "Doc interview," and he took the time to put it in bold. That takes a little extra effort. "One of your best and most important interviews. Great job. Thank you." And thank you, my friend, who's born on my birthday. Or I guess I'm born on your birthday. You came, I think, 1 or 2 years before me, so it's your birthday. I followed you. But I think everybody can tell I have been extremely passionate. If you go out on the web and did a new search, Harry Hurley vaping column or Harry Hurley vaping article, you will see an extensive column that I wrote on this topic. I blame my parents. I mean, I was raised the right way. I don't like it when there's inherent unfairness or things that happen because someone didn't do their job from the very beginning. How could I, and let's see, in 2004-ish or something like that, when my friend came to me and he walked into the studio and a puff of this white smoke came out of his mouth, and it was nothing like tobacco smoke that has a gray hue to it. This was white, and it was just, I mean, I don't even know what to say. It was disgusting. And he thought it was great. I said, now, come on. I said, I'm not qualified to dispense advice here, but you can't possibly think that that's good. I said, whatever's in that thing that then turns into this vapor, and who knows what's in it, this can't be good. Yeah, but it's going to help me quit smoking. I said, no, you're trading one smoking habit for maybe a worse smoking habit. Here's what I want to see, and we're way behind where we should be. We need not anecdotal data. We need empirical data as to exactly what this is doing. Now, we know that it can create popcorn lung. For those of you who don't know, what is popcorn lung? Go ask a worker in a popcorn factory, microwave popcorn factory, the chemical that goes in that product so that it, in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, makes a perfect bag of popcorn, and all you have to do is hit the popcorn button on your microwave. When I was a kid, we did like the hard thing. You spun this thing around and oil, and you really had to work it, or Jiffy Pop, shaking that thing on the burner. And you thought, oh my God, it's never going to work. What's going on here? And then finally it started popping, and steam started shooting out of the top, out of that little pinhole. But to my friend, my birthday mate, thanks for the encouragement, because we can't talk about it enough. And anybody you know that's doing it, do them a favor and be a friend. And don't be afraid to say, listen, I'm your friend, and I really care about you, and you should stop that. What you're doing, I mean, I've seen the popcorn lung. You're Dunsville at that point. Your life is basically over. You won't be able to walk a flight of steps without, you'll be heaving, and I mean, or worse, dead. And this damage, as you heard Dr. Khan say, the damage is not reversible to the lung. You're going to be on some lung transplantation list. Just, it doesn't take a lot of time. Do a little homework on vaping. Do a little homework on what it does. But I sure wish, we're approaching, what, 17 years or more, 20, getting close to 20 years, and we're just starting to get data. And I'm convinced it's because it was an industry that was let to run amok. And you know me, I love the free market. But when you're putting a product out to market in the marketplace that does damage, and in some cases, terminal, death sentence damage, there's got to be regulation. And this thing got way, way too far out in front. And then you'd hear occasionally someone say, well, we have no empirical data, but anecdotally, it's probably not very good for you. Oh, really? Really? My business administration studies would tell me that, and I didn't go to med school, that would tell me that that's an understatement. Just remember, and the doctor said it as well, anything that you're inhaling that's unnatural, that you're inhaling into your lungs. I just saw a thing this morning that they're trying to say that air pollution is taking 3 years off the average American's life, inhalation of the quality of the air, and that it's worse than smoking or something. That, now, that I think is a stretch. But you get where I'm going with this. It's one of those things. It's a self-inflicted damage. Like I've always said, I never begrudged. I never got angry at my parents. I watched my mom go first when I was very, very young. And then it was about 5 or 6 years later, I watched my father go. But they came of an age and an era where we didn't know. And it was actually being encouraged and it was in pop culture, and in every movie there was a cigarette in one hand and an alcoholic drink in the other hand, and it was really sexy when a woman would blow smoke in your face. And they just built this whole thing up. They had Dr. Schill. They had to know. They had to know. Just burning paper and inhaling it, let alone the dozens and dozens and dozens of chemicals that are in each one. So sometimes you say, don't get me started. On this occasion, get me started. 609-407-1450, an open phone line. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, my name's Adam. I'm just calling in to just correct you on a couple things you and the doctor were talking about, because a lot of people don't realize there's three different types of vaping. And you kind of, he and you both kind of, not that you did it purposely because you don't deal with this every day, but you converted three types of vaping into one issue. You have vaping where people were buying those black market cartridges and that was hurting people and killing people because they were putting the vitamin E in it. But then they kind of convoluted it into all of vaping. Then you have another type of vaping, which was the high salt nicotine vaping, which was the Juul.
Correct.
And the Juul pretty much, it can damage the lungs if you're smoking two or three of those little Juul pods a day, which, don't get me wrong, some people do. I own a vape store, and I understand. I see people who came in and buy it, and we were always trying to switch people off the Juul onto what is the third type of vaping, which would be called conventional nicotine, traditional nicotine vaping, where there's a very low amount of nicotine in the vape, and you're looking at, like, most people were between 3 and 6% of the fluid would have nicotine in it, or actually what you would call 0.3 to 0.6%. Then you had the Juul, and the Juul and some of its similar products that they sold out there, which were hurting some people that were using it too much during the day, like kids in high school and that kind of stuff, because they were just, it has so much nicotine in it, they were just getting high from it. So it really didn't matter what flavor it was. That's not why they were using it. They were using it to get high.
Well, why is the government then centering in on getting rid of the flavors as though they were an enticing factor? If that is of no consequence, then it's an act of foolishness, because if it doesn't affect one person, I would imagine there are people that like the cherry that don't like tobacco or menthol. You sound like you know a lot about this, so I haven't pushed back on much. But that I push back on a little bit. Also, I would push back on the fact, not just that you have skin in the game, and I'm not going to call you not objective. I like your approach. Your approach is very calm. It's very it's very good. But what about just the event of breathing whatever is in that vapor into your lungs, and what goes on because of that event? That can't be good, Adam.
Okay, you haven't let me finish.
I just made a comment. It's not that I'm not going to let you finish. I just made a comment.
Okay, if you don't have to vape, you shouldn't. However, vaping is less than 5% as harmful as cigarettes. There is a college in the United Kingdom called the Royal College of Medicine. They have 650 doctors study on this. You can go online. You can do the research. If you're vaping the 0.3 to 0.6% nicotine, whether it's a flavored vape or tobacco vape or menthol vape, it doesn't make a difference. It is so much better for you than smoking. It's not even, if you go and you actually delve into what they did and you look at it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. In fact, I would even go one step further. I would love for you to give me 20 minutes, a half an hour on the radio, come into your studio, bring you all the data that there is, because what you see today is data from people that are pushing back against vaping because they know it's the end of cigarettes. And if nobody else is buying cigarettes and they're just dying off from cigarettes, And the only people that are just still vaping are people that were just switching over from cigarettes. What is that going to do to the cigarette industry? Yeah, it's going to put them out of business. So, of course, they're going to say 100 million things bad about vaping. And that was terrible what happened with those kids, the kids that were smoking the THC out of the little, you know, have you ever seen those little THC tanks they buy
yeah.
on the black market?
Yeah, it's terrible.
And, you know, it was terrible. Why should anybody have to die from that? Because some idiot mixed it with the wrong product.
But some people were also dying and having bad lung damage that were not putting other stuff in the injection system, but were vaping the product and then wound up with popcorn lung or, in some cases, dead. And I know the numbers are small, but these things did happen, and it's pretty alarming stuff, Adam.
Listen, we have over I'm involved. I own a vape store where we have over 15 stores in our chain of vape stores. We've sold over 3 million bottles of vape juice in the last 7 years. We have liability insurance, just like every company out there has liability insurance. We haven't had one customer ever come back to us with an issue. Not one. 3 million bottles, 7 years, not one customer. Because, for one, of course, we're not selling the marijuana THC with the, you know, with the wrong products in it. But, and we're not selling the Juul product. In fact, they just banned us 2-6. They banned all those self-contained cartridges. February 6th was the last day you're allowed to sell one of those cartridges. And we've switched a lot of people over from smoking those high-level nicotines to a low-net-level regular vapor product. But honestly, I mean, if you just gave me a little bit of time to come in, I'm not saying people should go out and vape. I'm not saying you should start go vaping. But if you're smoking cigarettes, you're going to have so much better, you're going to have such a better life health-wise than continuing on cigarettes as opposed to continuing on vaping.
Yeah, see, I don't know how you say that, though, because I don't know that there's enough data that we even know that. Because I still believe that even if you want to go to the safest vaping product that you're talking about as opposed to some of the other things, how is the event of inhaling that vape, that whatever it is, I see what they blow out. So initially that's in the lungs and they're inhaling it. So they're grabbing the nicotine. They're expelling the cloud of vape. Here's what we'll do, because we don't capture phone numbers, so I do have to ask you to hold. I know your name is Adam, and hold on, and I'll take your number down, and I'll go one better. You asked for 20 minutes. We take three breaks an hour. We'll do a whole hour together on this. I'm open to most things in life. I'm not open to vaping is good under any circumstances. I'm persuadable that if there is actual scientific data that shows it's less harmful than tobacco smoking, then I'm persuadable to that being possible. I still think, generally speaking, it's terrible. It's just what degree of awful are we talking about? So hang in there. I'm going to get your number, and we'll bring you in, and we'll do an hour together. So you asked for 20. I tripled it. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Don't go away. Final break. It's early in the morning.